What is authentic humility? Or perhaps better asked, what is not authentic humility? That might be, first of all, if your intuition, Father, let me tell you how humble I am. Not authentic humility. And for me, to start with a lighthearted story, back in my days of college ministry at UW La Crosse, Matt, there's this wonderful young man, Matt, and as often is the case with Catholic youth that came to the Newman Center down there, kids can kind of fall into different camps when they get to college. And he fell to the camp of wasn't terribly active in his parish life as a kid, but boy, once he got to college, something clicked and he wanted to love the Lord, and boy, he was going to run over the cliff every time. That was just his way. And one time he said, Father, I want to grow in humility. Great, well, how are you going to grow in humility? Well, I found this saint, whose name escapes me, that his humble heart led him to always be the last person to receive Holy Communion, to basically allow everybody to go, before him. And that was part of his process of growing in humility. I'm going to do that. And I, stupid me, didn't really think through what he was saying. Well, all right, that's fine. So be it. I thought he would be like sitting like last pew in the corner, kind of positioning himself so he would be the last person naturally in line. Nope. So I'm giving communion. Everybody's done. I literally am giving communion to the last person, all going back to the pew. And then he gets up from pew 3, crawls over like 5 people, comes up to receive communion. And you can just feel the look of everybody that just, woof, like, what is up with this kid? And I said, Matt, right intention, wrong delivery. And he said, what do you mean, Father? I'm like, next time you do that, figure out a way to come up and present yourself last that doesn't draw attention to yourself, because that kind of defeats the purpose of the growth in humility. And he was frustrated with that because he wanted to be seen. And isn't that true of all of us, myself included, in a lot of different ways? Now, Matt's a lovely man. He's married, has a couple kids. And when we talk about it, we laugh a little bit about, man, but he was just on fire with the Lord and just wanted so hard to try to get this right. I, ironically, had a little bit of this lesson in a lighthearted sense before we get a little serious last night. I had a beautiful wedding yesterday of Seth and Lauren Nelmarkren. Usually sit back in that corner, way over there. Beautiful young couple. And I was a little bit under the weather the past couple days. And so we got the wedding done and, Mass at 5, ran over there. I got there about 6:45. And I thought their wedding banquet, apropos for the gospel, I thought their dinner was going to be like 5:30, somewhere like that. Nope, it was at 4:30. So they were already done. Food was gone. They were doing the last of the speeches and that kind of stuff. And I just kind of slinked in. Nobody was looking at me. And I realized in that moment, there's a lot of ego strokes a priest goes through when you go to a wedding reception. Because I'm used to, oh, hi, Father, thank you for coming. Well, here's your seat of honor. Please, have a seat. Can we grab you some food? Well, send somebody back to the kitchen to get you a plate of food because you just got done with Mass and just the things I never think about. And I was just sitting there laughing to myself thinking, this gospel's for me. This gospel's for me. As I'm kind of looking for the ego scratch of, is anybody going to say hi? So I slink into table 1, where they always put the priest, and I sit down, and nobody at table 1 was looking at me. Why? It was the father-daughter dance I got there for. And there was just this beautiful moment of me just sitting there, realizing, who is the table of honor for tonight? It's not me. It's not me. It's Lauren and her dad. Lauren and her dad, as the two of them are dancing. I even felt like the poor beggar at the end, because I have to admit, I hadn't had anything to eat. And so I snuck back to the kitchen, like, could I get a dinner roll? Do you have anything I could just kind of grab for the road? Which ironically leads into the serious part of this gospel. When you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, why? Because they can't repay you. Okay, but what's the application? Where this whole idea of taking the lowest place comes, and this is why this gospel is truly countercultural. We live in a culture, what are the things that we are heard? Make your way in life, rugged individualism. Make your way, fake it till you make it. Take that promotion, take that higher wage. Think about it, if Jesus walked into your place of work and said to all the employees wherever you work, blessed are they who long and desire for the lowest wage. What do you think the response would be? What? I deserve my keep. Now, granted, the church does teach you have a right to earn enough money to take care of family and so forth. So, you know, touche. But that's the jarringness of this. For us, when we approach God, what can we do to impress God, really? Let's be honest, nothing. There's nothing we can do to impress God. There's nothing that, oh, please come take the seat of honor. Let's be honest. In the relationship, in terms of God inviting us to the wedding feast of the Lamb, we're the beggar. All of us, spiritually. We're the blind, we're the cripple, we're the lame, myself included. And we can't give anything to God that God needs. Instead, what does God do through his grace and love? Come, sit at a higher place. It's, as I shared with you before, the irony of the spiritual life. How do you become great in Christianity? By making yourself nothing. Or as Thérèse of Lisieux put beautifully in her autobiography, The Story of a Soul, using the analogy of a child with their toys, to be the ball in the corner that Jesus never played with. What? But what about attention? What about my ego strokes? What about my look at me moments? Live your faith not presuming to be seen by anybody from this world, so you in turn may be seen profoundly by your Heavenly Father. So therefore I ask you to pray this week. What's your humility lesson this week? I already had mine. It was kind of, you know, to be quite frank, and I was praying with this scripture all through this wedding reception. And when I left and I snagged a dinner roll from the back kitchen because they had put all the food away, I thought, Lord, thank you. Thank you for having nobody say hi. Thank you. And not in a snarky, passive-aggressive way, but thank you for not having me get any attention. Because Seth and Lauren, it's their day. That's their celebration. That's their party. I just was there to make sure they got the words right when they gave the sacrament to each other. Pray for your lesson of humility this week. Pray not to be seen. Pray not to be advanced by this world, so that in turn the Lord may advance your heart to the wedding feast of the Lamb.